Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank. Skip the waiting. Do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org. Number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, French comedy superstar Gad Elmaleh. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a spirited round of Germany or Florida. And now, a man whose Easter egg hunt featured a 20-minute rant about Vinny Tortorich and eating more protein, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thank you. That's what we do around here. We do a show. You guys listen. You tell friends and have a laugh and all that good stuff. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Oh, damn, girl.
Oh, good. See, all you right. Got that voiceover gig.
I know. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. So Gad is coming in, Elmaleh, and everyone loves this guy.
Yeah, I heard pretty much a full one-hour special on him on This American Life. He is like the Seinfeld, the Louis C.K., the everything of France. I mean, sells out stadiums and arenas, and it sounds like he came to America to start over completely and try and work in English. It was fascinating.
Well, he's in the middle of his tour, and we'll bring him in a couple of few.
What's the deal with baguettes?
I'm sure there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
All right. I had this...
You're out? You're tired?
I'm good. I had to do a lot of work yesterday, and then I had this thing. I don't know. Do you guys have cleaning people?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No, you don't?
That's my lovely boyfriend.
I have this sort of horrible...
I mean, it's not round-the-clock cleaning service. It's,
they're not live-in.
Once in a while, a lady comes in and does a couple
every 2
hours.
Weeks. They always put something weird. Like, I'm very ritualistic with my stuff because I need it. Like, it's weird that these people don't sort of get... Like, I get the... You know, the jar of, or box or whatever of cleanser, and you put it under the sink. Mm-hmm. Like, it's on top of the thing, and now it goes under the sink. But the stuff like the eye shade and the earplugs, you know, mm-hmm. that are by on the nightstand,
there's
by
a
the side of
those.
The bed, like, we don't have to fold those up in a shroud and tuck them between the mattress and the box spring. They're right there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, every day, you know, the toothpaste.
Within an arm's reach.
Yeah.
Now, I'm okay with you putting the toothpaste away, but don't hide it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's out.
It gets cleaned
away. It's a daily thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's also kind of an overall general resentment I've always had, which is I don't even want people in my house to do this. I just, me and my wife will do it.
Yeah.
But
I'm with you.
But we live in
especially the day-to-day stuff you use day-to-day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'll take care of that.
I also just feel like the people who live in the house should clean the house, but all right.
Well, and also, do you clean so the cleaning people can clean? There's a lot of that.
I have to organize so that cleaning people won't clean or hide, literally hide stuff. As I told you, I looked all over for my big nail clippers the other week, and they're inside of a tall black pen holder. And because I made the mistake of leaving the nail clippers on top of my desk, and instead of putting them in this super shallow drawer in the middle, which is just made for that kind of stuff, they took them and dropped them into the all-black, non-transparent...
Essentially bottomless.
Six-inch deep...
It's pen, still falling
today. ...pen holder, and just dropped it in the bottom of it, and then I tore the house apart looking for these things, because... I never put anything anywhere stupid. Like, I don't put anything, like, in places that don't make sense. I don't have that kind of confidence. People have that kind of thing where they'll set something on top of the fridge and go, oh, I'll get it later, but they won't get it later. I know that about myself. So it's like, my nail clippers are either where the nail clippers go, or they're just sitting on top of the desk. But I can't account
There's no option C.
for insane people who I pay to come into my house and...
Put it in the ice cube tray.
Right. And then, I might even find it there. The pen thing, you'll never find it there because you'll never look for it there. It just turned out 2 weeks later, I was cleaning and just sort of capsized the thing.
When's the last time you any of us looked at the bottom of the pen cup or the pen holder? Like, there could be, flies and spiders. Who knows what's down there?
It's no good because there's eight pens hanging out of it, so you don't think there's anything beneath that. But anyway, these insane people throw the nail clipper in with the pens. Then one of the greatest ones, which is, there's a little... Well, we had a fruit fly problem, as I may have spoke about. And so I had Matt. We had, in between writing jokes for the Oscars and developing the new show, I had to go online and get the fruit fly traps, you know.
Big to small.
Because that's what I do. That's my job. So I got a bunch of these fruit fly traps, and they're little red strawberries about the size of a... I don't know what size of a the size of a tangerine or something, and they look like little strawberries, and then they kind of come up, and you put this gooey little red sticky stuff at the sweet stuff, and I had some in my bathroom, we had some in the kitchen, and so I had this little strawberry size again of a tangerine plastic. Sitting on one side of my counter, and then on the other side of the counter, I had made a grave error, which is I had left some tweezers out and some small scissors out on top. No. This is left side of the sink. In drawer, directly beneath the counter, like 2 inches away from where the tweezers and the little scissors were, is a drawer filled with tweezers and little scissors and shavers and tchotchkes.
The tweezer scissor drawer.
Right. Yeah. They somehow got from that left side of the sink to the right side of the sink to the other side of the counter and then put in to the gooey red substance as a holder. Like, this is your tweezer holder and little scissor holder.
That's all sorts of problems.
It's insane.
That's all sorts
of problems. It's insane.
The scissors kind of useless.
Hire insane people
and
to come
trap.
Into your house and do bizarre things, because I am telling everybody, when people get into repetition or get into the sort of menial nothing, they shut their mind goes into a weird, just sort of sleep state, like when a computer, like I guess when you haven't touched a computer for long enough and it just kind of zeroes out, just kind of goes well,
sleep mode.
I'm not being used. There's nothing going on here. Nobody's looking at porn. Right. Nobody's Googling anything. So it's been a half hour. I'm just going to kind of flatline it. Yeah. I'm not dead.
I can be woken up.
Yeah, when you need me, you know, blow a whistle and I'll wake back up. But
like the beginning of Alien, they're going into stasis for God knows how long.
Well, It's a self-preservation thing. It's like when I know, because I used to do this, when somebody says, you know, here's a 6-inch scraper, here's a pole, get up on the roof. The warehouse is 17,000 square feet. Just start scraping. to start scraping. We're scraping the roof off. And you just sit there and you just scrape and you scrape and you scrape. And eventually you're just like, your mind has to shut down. Because if you were in sort of super wear mode, then Gary, it's all right. You don't have to give me a message in the middle of this. If you're in super wear mode, then you'll go insane.
Yeah. It's not like you're raking a Zen garden. You're scraping a roof.
The tedious.
Right, right. So
the tediousness of it all. Yeah.
These people come in and they're already in that mode. And then they start putting stuff away. And when you're in that mode, there is no thought to anything. There's only...
just automatic script being run.
What it is what I've figured out is everything is just a shape. There is no function.
Oh.
So if things that are sort of long and thin go into this bend, then the long and it doesn't matter what they are. Mm-hmm. They can be nail clippers. Now you go, well, why are you putting the nail clippers in with the pens? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not. I'm putting the long, thin things in with the long, thin thing.
There's no time. There's no part of this process that allows for that level of thinking. Like, huh, what is this thing? Where should this go? What would be the best place for this to go?
Chapstick with the batteries. Yep. The reason chapsticks are with the batteries is the same shape.
Keep it moving.
All you have to do is tell anyone, I've had it a million times, say, organize your shop, your garage, where open the drawer, it'll be the chapstick and the batteries. And you go, why is the chapstick and the batteries? I go, I don't know. No, they don't know. It's the same shape. So they see stuff lying around, and they just sort of stick it. So now I got these little scissors and these... tweezers covered with this red sugar goo at the tips on the business, like rusting out on the business end. So
renders them
all
useless.
I wouldn't use those.
I washed them off. But the point is there is a drawer filled with these things directly underneath it, and then there's this thing that looks like a strawberry.
Yeah.
And it's not like the stuff fits either. It's not like you have to kind of wedge it in the top. And there are no other, it's not like, well, Adam already primed the pump by putting some tweezers into strawberry shortcakes neti pot over there. So we'll just, no, you're just shut down.
And also, it didn't wake you up when you put it in and it went bloop. Like, it didn't make that hard sound at the end.
Fair to them. Okay. But last night, so I have this little Lucite dish slash sort of... I would like a montage of me and everyone else looking for things in anger. You know, when the door slides open and slides shut again and slides open again and slides shut again.
And you yell to no one in particular, but why is this thing not here? Why is this thing not where it's supposed to be?
Now, so for me, I don't do anything. I don't lose anything. I don't misplace anything. I don't drop any phones. I don't do anything. But I do have to hire super dumb people to come into my house and do it for me.
Yeah, shake things up a little.
And going to bed last night, it was like 12:30 at night, and there was my little Lucite, that's like a little Lucite ashtray or something. It's like by the side of my bed, and I just keep my little foam earplugs in there and my mask, my sleepy mask. And there it was, the mask and one foam.
Oh,
dang. And I was like, God damn.
I'm sleeping on my side tonight.
Yep, all night.
And I've been burned before where they took the mask and the earplugs and they put it down in the drawer down beneath it that's like 9 inches deep. It's like, that's a nightstand and it's an eye shade. Like, you're not going to get fired for leaving it there.
Yeah.
Again, one of my other favorite moves is when I turn on my little mattress cooler thing. There's this great thing. It keeps your mattress like
the chili pad.
The chili pad, right? And turn that thing on. Also, going to bed, hitting the remote multiple times, going, "Why this thing's broken?" Oh no, they unplugged it to plug in the vacuum cleaner, and then when they're done, they unplugged the vacuum cleaner, left the big fat white cord on the floor right in front of the thing. I love that part. But anyway, so it's like 12:30 last night. Lynette's asleep. Philly cheesesteak sleep. Everyone's asleep, and I got the one earplug.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, God. Damn it. And I open the drawer, and there's nothing in the drawer below it. But now it's like, what'd they do? Clean up one earplug? And then where is it? And then now I'm looking around the floor, but trying not to turn the light on. Then I'm like, where are my earplugs? I got tons of earplugs in my race bag at the track and stuff. But where are my earplugs out here? Then I go into my bathroom and get my toiletry bag out. I'm like, I think I have earplugs when I travel. I think they're in my toiletry bag. But because it's the toiletry bag and they're the earplugs, I do the angry move where I just capsize the thing and start shaking on top of the counter and everything just spills out. And
completely undone the cleaning.
Go through it. And now I'm in this weird no man's land. I got one foam earplug. I have no idea where the other one is. I'm trying not to really agitate Lynette, but I am pissed. Like, what? I hate the fact that we have to hire these witches to come in and hide my earplugs and hide my nail clippers and throw my tweezers into the neti pot with the goo in it and everything. Like, and also, can't they be a little better at this? Like, I know everyone has this, but I just mean,
well, it's ostensibly what you do, your profession.
I know. Can't they, here's the thing. I did notice that the end of the toilet paper had the fold on it to make a
arrow. Oh, the
arrow.
Hotel fold. That's fancy.
Is that Led Zeppelin?
Sorry, I saw a call asking about that song. I was getting it ready.
What song was it? Ain't talking about love? I knew what song that was from once. You played 1 second of that.
Wow. Oh, I was just trying to get the song ready. I didn't realize the volume was turned up.
I can't even see. I don't have the right glasses today, so I can't see the phone calls.
It's one of your favorites where the song name is never mentioned.
Yep. That's Trampled Underfoot.
A Trampled Underfoot, right. I heard one lick, one half a lick, and I knew what song
And it was very, like, Stevie Wonder Superstitious, so how you pulled that moment that quickly.
It's the only thing I'm good at.
This whole conversation would never have taken place. I was just trying to get the song queued up.
All right. So, Trampled Underfoot, right. Okay.
Sorry.
So now I got the one earplug. Yeah. I'm agitated. I'm generally agitated over the state of bringing the dumb people into the house and have them hide stuff for me. I don't feel like we need to do it, but we have to do it. All right. So now what? Do I wake up Lynette and tell her I need one foam ear
plug? Spread that pain around. Absolutely.
I'm can't sure go to bed with the one foam one in. Sonny is having a dry coughing attack. He's going through a phase. He's got a cold or he's doing something. You can hear him hacking away. I need the earplugs. He's hacking away all night. I got one, which is actually worse than zero. I'm thinking about alternative things to shove in my ear, like my dick.
Bragger.
The uncomfortable sleeping position.
So anyway, I wake up Lynette. She gets a couple of foam ones and throws them at me. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Can there be some sort of training for these people? Like, what's on the nightstand is pretty much the thing that you're using on a... It's different than what's on the bookshelf.
Yeah.
Also, random, just weird random things, like stuff on my desk. Like, I have a couple containers with the pens that they like putting the nail clippers with. Both of them off and on top of a shelf 8 feet away. Like, just off the desk, on top. Now, I know what happens. I think they move them, and then they wipe stuff down, and then they never... It's like, we're going to unplug the guy's aquarium, and then we're going to plug in the dustbuster, and then we're going to leave. Like, we're never plugging it. Could we at least... Here's my thing with all dumb people who we surround ourselves with.
Listen up.
Whether it's the valet guy who moves the seat, my seat, you get my car and you move the seat all the way forward, or the valet guy who puts the pink slip underneath the windshield wiper that I literally have. There had to be at least between 38 and 47 Americans killed each year when they turn their windshield wipers on and it starts raining and that weird pink streak goes across it and you go, I can get it. You try to time it. Now it's at night. It's raining. You're in your car. You're on the freeway. You're reaching out with your bad arm, your left arm, and you're going, I can time this. And you just T-bone a oil tanker truck.
Yep.
Like, there has to be a certain amount of Americans.
It's cliche as old as time.
All right. It's in the Bible. All I'm saying to all dumb people is, can you just undo what you do? Like, if you unplug my cool mattress to plug in your vacuum cleaner, are you capable of when you then unplug the vacuum cleaner and there's a big white cord lying 8 inches below you on the ground? Are you capable of plugging that back in?
Sadly, this is probably a self-selecting thing because, you know, if you were that self-aware and that advanced in your thinking, you probably wouldn't be parking cars or cleaning houses.
Understood.
Sad to say.
Understood. But we all know this would immediately go away if there was some sort of system where you went, well, it's $10 every time you leave the cord on the ground and don't plug it back in. Mm-hmm. And hey, you get no tip, valet guy, if you leave the piece of paper, piece of cardboard stuff. That's zero tip.
True.
Then, or when you see the guy who's 6'2" walking toward the car and the seat's all the way up, because the number one excuse is, hey man, I didn't take the car. Pedro midget number one took the car. I'm Jose midget number two bringing the car around. Yes, but when you see the tall drink of water walking at the car, you should be moving the seat back. Mm-hmm. If you implemented the no tip for that, it's immediately
suddenly
corrected,
become a
right?
lot more self-aware.
Right. Yeah. So then people who are too dumb or incapable of things immediately become capable of them, right?
Yeah.
So then it doesn't it doesn't become a situation of, well, they're not capable of doing it. It's like, oh no, they're immediately capable of doing it. Just like, look, Philly cheesesteak is a lazy sack of shit, but as soon as you get a treat in your hand,
oh, Johnny on the spot,
and you go heel, and you go sit, and you go lay down, or you go whatever, it's like, boom. Well, granted, dumb people are wired more like animals than like human beings. Mm-hmm. That's why you need the little treat. Piece of kibble in your hand. Or
the swift kick in the ribs, Olga style.
Yeah, I was going to say, or that.
That'd be weird to deliver this to the valet.
But he'd never forget.
You either need that. Right. What would then motivate Phil is the kibble or that extended shoehorn with the horse head on it that had the piece of bamboo in between it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, what is that?
The long shoehorn?
There's the shoehorn. There was like, listen.
The shoehorn that you use to not have to bend over to use.
First there was. First,
you whip him with that?
First people just put their shoes on.
Yeah.
Then somebody went, this is too tall an order. I need a hand.
And I'm too tall a guy.
This is just too much.
I need a hand and I can't afford a hand.
It's too big a calorie burner for me just to put my shoes on without using something from the toolbox. So then they invented the shoehorn, which is, I need help putting this shoe on. And then somebody went, even this is a bridge too far. I need an extension on my shoehorn so I don't have to bend over.
This thing that works perfect. This is not working for me.
Yeah. Now, the classic one, Gary, has a horse's head, white or black.
Is it like
on
a riding crop?
How would you know that?
I haven't seen that.
That is a fancy shoehorn.
There were a couple things from my youth. There was the extended shoehorn. Not that the Corollas didn't have those. You got kind of a Cayman's head on there. I need a horse's head.
That's Vinnie Tortorius.
There was a
bayou.
There were two things with the shoes that were revolutionary, or that all rich guys had. Mm-hmm. They had the extendo shoehorn. Mm-hmm. And they had the shoe buffer, red on one side and like black on the other. Unclear if they were different viscosities or like, I don't know if like one was 120 and the other was 340 or whatever. The extended shoehorn.
Nice.
Fancy.
Woo. Yeah. So it's like a riding crop for your shoes.
It really is.
Yeah. But perfect for teaching the dog a valuable lesson and or the valet, right?
Hey, you know what this is good for?
Yeah.
You know, even better for.
Yeah. So, and that shoe buffer, I still miss those. Like, I don't know why those went away.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Those
with
the
little button.
Yeah, with the little, the twirly, like, fuzzy things.
Yeah.
Like, that was the kind of thing where.
That's a technical description. The twirly, fuzzy things.
It had a long handle on top. Yep. Now, that was one of the many things. When I was a kid, there were things that were meant for commercial use only. Like, that thing, if I was watching an episode of Heart to Heart and Jonathan Hart was at the Racquet Club, his exclusive club, that would be in the background when he was in the locker room having the confrontation.
Right.
But if you ever met a dude that had one of those in his closet,
made it.
That was a big deal.
I've never seen a home one before.
Well, that's the whole point. There were no...
They're rare.
It was
we
like,
didn't know those class of people.
But it's the same as like pinball machines and popcorn machines. Like there weren't... No one had them at home.
Yeah.
Now everyone has everything at home. You know what I'm
saying?
Nobody had arcade stuff at home or popcorn stuff or movie theater stuff. Now every if anyone has any money, they have a movie theater with the popcorn thing and the candy thing. Like everything is now at home.
Yep.
That was how Christy told me where what room to go in at Phil's house. Oh, right by the popcorn machine.
Just past the popcorn machine. Look for the tiered stairs.
Yep. All right, we got some questions here. First, I'll tell you about Audible. Audible.com. Where were we? The premier provider of digital audiobooks. Please get these things, man. I'm telling you, whatever you're doing, you load them up, you keep them in your phone, and then if you hit traffic or hit a snag or hit a line or just have to walk the dog or whatever it is, you pop these things on, and you immediately can become an expert, whatever historical event, whatever founding father, whatever.
Man. I will vouch for everything you've just said.
Thank you. Play, you can play on the iPhone, the Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. And for listeners of the Adam Carolla Show, you get the free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. It is one of the many things that make you smarter. I get, you know, we talk about this day and age of all these devices and what they're doing to us and the distraction and kids sitting around playing video games all day and their minds turning away from them. This is one of the very positive sides of this technology. Absolutely. That you can devour a book, an entire book on four or five walkings of your dog that you never would have gotten to before. Anyway, download the free audiobook. Go to audible.com/Carolla. That is audible.com/Carolla. Audible.com. Try it out for free. All right. There's a funny thing I kind of stumbled on too. So, we'll take some phone calls and then I'll tell you something that I think might. One of, I like to make the predictions, and I make the predictions with the dogs that sniff out venereal disease or the dogs or cancer or dogs that are on the airplanes. Mm-hmm. I have a...
You have a lot of dog-centric predictions.
Yeah. This is an airplane, travel-related. I've also made the prediction that the next major air catastrophe we have, there will be a column for how many pets were lost. Yeah. It used to just be passengers and crew.
Right.
Now, there shall be pets. Because there's going to be six dogs that are lost, and someone's going to have to say something about it. And I got to tell you, here's the beauty of this town. If I was sitting in front of almost anyone I know in this town, and they were reading this report about the casualties, it'd be 11 crew members were lost, 246 passengers, and seven dogs. And the person would go, oh.
Oh.
That's
they feel much
I guarantee these seven dogs would get them much more than the 242 souls, including a group of honor students that were going to Seoul for a for spelling competition. I guarantee it'd be including 31 ninth graders who were going to Seoul, Korea to attend a convention on that. But when they got to the dogs, you wouldn't hear any noises with the crew or the people or the 31 ninth graders, but when they got to the dogs, it would be audible. Now, the fact that I'm not wired like that is the biggest blessing in the world, and the fact that I'm critiqued for not being wired like that is fucking insane. Yeah. Okay.
Gad's in the green room running all this down.
Taking it back to France.
All right.
That was my flawless French accent.
Let's see. All right, so... I have a prediction involving planes. First, we'll take some phone calls here. Let's see. I'm going to jump up there. Brian, 34, Indianapolis. Brian?
Ace man, big fan. Bald Gina, how are you?
What's going on?
Hey, can I tell you a quick Mike August story?
Yeah.
So I was in Indianapolis when you were here for the 500 for the Racing Life of Paul Newman premiere.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really nice event, open bar. You and Nate spoke. Then they were going into the theater to show the movie. They announced they were closing the open bar. We got our last drink, went in, sat down. 5 minutes later, you and August come walking up the aisle. August has four long necks of Budweiser in his hand. You know that way that you can kind of hold the long neck between your fingers?
Yep.
Oh, man, it was hilarious.
They called the Dominic Toretto.
Yeah, he had to get the,
the Dom Toretto.
He had to get the long necks before the bar went down.
Well, it's an hour and a half movie. He's got to get his four free Budweiser while he can, right?
It's not even that Mike drinks. It's that something is free, and then it will cease being free.
Yeah.
Like, Mike literally, Mike will have a beer. Mike's casual, but Mike's not a drinker.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that there was something free. If it was horsehair pillow stuffing from the 1930s, reclaimed from a barn, free, and then not free,
so this is not
still
gonna be
go
free
get
by
a bale of it.
Yeah,
that's how he's wired. That's the wiring.
As fans in Indianapolis, we haven't got a live show yet, so that was our first experience at the show, and What a better way to experience Mike August than to see him pounding those three Budweisers.
I concur. So thank you. And how many times did I have to hit Nate's elbow and push the mic back up to his mouth?
He was leaning over pretty far for it at the speech. So here's my question for you, because you're the authority on this. There's two things in my city that I've seen, and I need to know which one is sadder. So I think this might be a Midwest thing from talking to Kalen, but if someone gets killed riding their bicycle, what their family will do is spray paint the bike white and put it at the spot where they were killed as kind of a roadside memorial.
Ghost bike.
Wow.
A ghost bike. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
That's Nick Cage's next movie.
So here's that scenario number. Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of white, he's going to jump that bike, a new world record, 300 feet, field goal to field goal. Jesus Christ, can anyone vet this stuff? All right.
So here's sad scenario number
one. Hold on a second. We have a lot of that around here, but it's all Hispanic driven. Mm-hmm. You see the candles of the Virgin Guadalupe
the
everywhere,
memorial.
And then we got all the stuff rolling on the back of the Ford F-150 windows.
Right. Rolling memorials.
Yeah. The rolling memorials. But Whitey don't dance.
Never seen the painted white anything.
Well, so this is a Whitey thing, I think, because this is a bicycle accident, so I'm going to guess. But so the bike, the ghost bike, with the wheel stolen off of it.
Ooh, seen this in the OC, says Gary. Yeah,
this is
the white man's pride.
So scenario number two is the aforementioned roadside memorial with the cross, where people have put flowers and stuffed animals. But over the last couple of months, the flowers have died, and the rain and the sun have bleached
it's
the stuffed
sad.
Animals.
And there is no proper time for the guy who's running the AMPM on the same corner to go out there and
take
mop up. Like, when do you squeeze the trigger on that? It's got to
so
be weird.
Things are within a half mile of each other.
I would also
They've
argue,
been there forever.
Yeah, like the stuffed teddy bears. That's a 12 and under fatality there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So I need to know which one is sadder because it's bothering me. I drive by them all the time.
So far, I have in my sadder department, which I've all seen with these eyes, close by to the studio, fat guy riding bicycle built for two with his gut hanging out from under his t-shirt, nobody on the bike, so symbolically he's going through life alone. Person in wheelchair, but pushing themselves with one leg backwards. The backwards wheelchair push. There's one other, and I can't remember what it was, but the bicycle, the memorial, I feel like the faded memorial with teddy bear means kid. And then it's been, there's been a hailstorm and it's a mess and
been rained upon. It's dirty soot from the car as going by.
Yeah. Sad.
All right. Well, I appreciate the input. Big fan. Keep it
both
up.
Both sad.
Thanks,
both sad.
Brian.
Both,
yeah. All very sad. The white bike you picture, I don't know, douchey mountain bike guy, you know.
Is that what we picture?
I do. He had a good run. Yeah. But the teddy bear.
He had a good ride.
He had a good ride. Ryan, 34, Kentucky.
Yeah. I'm actually from Southern California. I'm only here for work. I've been here for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it matters, but...
Yeah, I get it.
The song Trampled Underfoot by Led Zeppelin. If you actually like read the lyrics, it's hard to understand the way he sings, but it's like one of the great car songs, as well as being, you know, about fucking and all that shit.
All I ever knew was talk about
talk
love.
About
that's
love.
All. That's all I could ever understand.
The lyrics are all car related, and they're all like all
set. Trouble me transmission. Oh, I thought that meant like transmitting a message or a radio airwave.
Mama, let me pump your gas.
It's a song about sex using car parts.
Yeah. Dawson, you're saying Led Zeppelin has a double entendre.
Actually, they borrowed this one from Robert Johnson. He did it first. It was called Terraplane Blues back then.
Dawson, you're saying that Led Zeppelin stole something from an old black blues musician.
Does that happen a lot with Robert Johnson?
Yeah.
Automobile with comfort, really built with style.
Yeah. This is why the Beach Boys were the only ones who ever wrote an accurate car one. So everyone is always like, even one of my favorite, which is Deep Purple. What the hell?
Highway Star.
Yeah, it's like it's got a big fat engine and tires and big fat tires. And like they don't really
lawn specific.
Nothing.
Big fat tires and everything.
Like yeah, it's like rock and roll guys know nothing. Well, actually, they don't know anything about anything. Maybe soccer. I don't know. I just don't. There's certain professions like comedian and rock and roller. Like when you're in a hair band, you don't know anything. You just don't know anything. There's nothing. Like there's nothing. There's like it's like your average dude knows X amount about World War II, just certain events, certain dates, things like that. Your average hair band guy doesn't even know we had a World War II. That
there was this who?
Yeah. Just and then there's comedians who know more about that stuff, but don't know anything about anything to do with building or cars or anything. Like there are certain niche professions where you just don't know anything except for that thing.
Yeah. Sure, a lot of athletes are that way.
You know, and working at a classic rock station, you know what I've noticed a lot of lately that for some reason...
Athletes are young and sort of sheltered. It's like they don't have to go to class. They're kept in this place. And then they're 19 and I wouldn't expect them to know anything, but I'm with you. They're in that group. The hairband guy can be in his 40s and still not know anything. Yes.
Being your backdoor man comes up a lot in classic rock.
Yeah. There's a lot of
Led Zeppelin stuff.
Right. Led Zeppelin, there's AC/DC.
That all started with the old Blackie blues guys.
But it's the guy who's sneaking. He's sneaking out the back. He's a cuckold.
Is that
what it is?
Dawson, is that what that's referring to?
Are you telling me that they wrote these songs about anal sex?
I'd like to believe.
Don't be so naive.
Ryan. Yes, Ryan.
I have a driving question real quick while I have you. I drive a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered, like, what the proper way to come to a stop was while driving a stick. Do you, like, put the gear into neutral and, like, coast, or do you downshift? Around the town driving.
Downshift, I would say, and let the engine slow the car down.
Unless you spin out in the middle of the dirt.
Yeah, it's better on the brakes. Yeah, then you got to let go of the wheel.
My mom taught me, and the way she taught me was just put the gear into neutral and, you know, stop like a normal.
That's fine. But
it is.
Well, no, it's fine, but it puts all the onus on the brake pads because the car's just rolling along and you have to then clamp down on the brakes and the brake pads wear out and then you have to replace the brake pads. Put it in second and just coast and let the engine slow the car as well as the brakes, but it takes a lot of the onus off of the brakes.
Cool.
You with me?
All right.
You got it? All right, good.
That was so click and clack of you.
Thank you. All right, last call. Greg, 36, Berkeley.
Hey, it's man, get it on.
Get it on, man.
All right. So I'm calling. I was curious. I listen to your show a lot, and I've heard you talking about the Trump administration. And one thing you were kind of excited about was the no more golf policy. And, you know, now that we got recorded 16 rounds in 11 weeks, I was just kind of curious what you thought about that.
I don't like it. I don't like travel and I don't like golf. I want the president. Well, wherever you set up your base, I'll accept a base being somewhere other than the White House. But I want you there working. That's I don't want you out on the golf course, and I don't want you travel. And I know it's not like us when we hop on a Southwest flight. We're incommunicado for 3 hours because we're flying to Florida.
Air Force One is set up for pretty heavy.
It probably got like free Wi-Fi and stuff like that.
It's slow. You can't stream a Netflix movie on it. You know, you can send a text.
And I get it. They're on the plane and they're on the phone or they're doing whatever they need to do with their generals. But I don't like it. I don't like it symbolically. And I don't like it for the president on either side of the aisle. And It's more of a symbolism for me. I am sure Obama and Trump and everyone who came before them was able to. It says a few things. It kind of says we don't really need you. Like I've always had this sort of. Brian's heard this for over a decade that I really think we could get by without the president. Like I really do think the people, like the system, is kind of up.
Yes,
in
the
running.
Infrastructure is set.
Yeah. It's like I famously said to my buddy Daniel when we're in the early years of Jimmy Kimmel Live, when everything was just sort of going, and he was whooping my ass with something. And I just said, hey, Daniel, don't show up tomorrow. See what happens. Because I bet nothing. I bet if we just go on and do a show.
He's executive producer, we should point out.
Right. He's running the whole thing. Yeah. But first off, be careful about ever putting yourself in that position where you go, it's a mistake. I'm going to tell my kids, because what'll happen is inevitably at some point you'll go, hey, everyone's going to Santa Barbara to do a show or something. And you go, ooh, I got an early thing the next day. Would it be okay if I just kind of bowed out? And you go, all right, we'll see. And then the person doesn't show up, and then everything goes perfectly.
Yeah. You're like, oh,
and now your brain does the math, which is, oh, we just did a killer fill in the blank, whatever your job
is. Damn, I wish I was in Boston and Connecticut for those two shows.
And that person wasn't there. So be careful about that. I don't like Trump golfing because symbolically, again, I'm sure he's telling generals to drop super bombs on countries and things like that while he's getting ready to tee off. This thing of like, I'm going to put America back to work. The middle class is who's suffering. There's lots of people are feeling the squeeze and having trouble making ends meet. And then you're just out golfing all the time.
It was symbolic disconnects.
Yeah. Like when Obama was doing the sequestration and then going and golfing the next day, it would drive me nuts because it's like, come on, you're talking about, we have to shut down tour national parks and stuff, but you're still golfing. And it's the same with Trump. I don't like the symbolism of it. And also, I feel like it's 4 years of the most important thing you could ever do in your life that from a percentage standpoint, no one ever gets a chance to do. Mm-hmm. Whatever this is, and it's kind of my thought with a lot of my fuck up friends and a lot of parts of life where you go, you know, it's that thing where it's like you go to the Christmas party, you get drunk, and you go tell the boss you'd like to fuck his wife or whatever it is. It's like, can't you keep it together for this little sliver of time? Can we just, in this little period.
There's 2.5 hours out of the year, hold it together, and not go crazy outside of that.
And I go ahead and get drunk. Just don't go talk to the boss and settle his hash. Like, when you're drunk. Like, my buddy Chris and Ray, but Chris mainly, was an all-league football player in the 11th grade, was starting to get some interest from colleges in the 11th grade, but in the senior year would surely be courted by colleges to get free rides to play football. I'm not saying he was going to Nebraska, but he could have gone to UC Davis for free. Mm-hmm. And his academics were bad and his grades were bad, although he wasn't a stupid guy. He was just kind of being lazy. And there was this like one little sliver in time where in order to be eligible for his senior year of football, he had to go to summer school in between the 11th and the 12th grade. And summer school is not that tall an ask.
Oh,
it's like 5 weeks or 6 weeks or 4 weeks. And it's like between...
You show up and they'll take mercy on you between, and give you a passing grade.
And it's between 8 and noon. It's like, it's not all day and it's not... It's a few weeks, and this happened to be in Van Nuys High School, and I was playing football, and I really wanted him to play because he was my best friend, and he was a really good football player. The team needed him, and I could remember going to his house in the morning and going, come on, man, get up. We got to go. You got to go, man. I mean, bye-bye. And I would say the stuff I always say to every loser in my life, which is, you just blink your eyes, it'll be over. You know what I mean? Just go. I know you don't want to get up. You just go, and then we'll be done, you know? And the irony is you blink your eyes, and we're playing in the football season, but you blink your eyes, and you're 50. You didn't graduate high school. But you certainly didn't get a college degree. But I just, could you just... Just get up, just rally for a few weeks so we can play football. And it's like, I'm going to the beach, you know, and it's like, or maybe to the reservoir closer. And I just remember, all right, well, that's that. You can't get it together. It's the hallmark of all losers is I won't get it together for this very short period of time in order to then just for eternity. Like, you could have gotten a free college education, but you chose to take these 5 weeks off.
Yeah.
And I feel that way with the president all the time, which is, could we just have a moratorium on golf or sort of unnecessary travel
recreation
for this window here? I mean, look, you got central air and heat in the White House and you have some nice sheets and comforters and stuff. Like, I'm not saying camp, but I'm just saying none of this for that.
For this period of time.
As I always say, Let's get one of those world-class sort of drive-and-net computer things and put it in the basement of the White House.
Ooh.
You get to tee off. It'll tell you how many yards you drive. Mike and I, Gary's been there. We're out there. We're out in Arizona.
Yeah.
Mike was swinging the clubs away over there for free.
Didn't Mike hit a hole-in-one?
Mike won the driving competition or got closest to the pin or whatever it is. But you go down there, they got the big canvas set up with the rear screen projector and the computer and everything that can tell how far your drive was. And you can have, in a weird way, more competition because next guy comes up, then you hand the next guy the club, then you hit reset, then you jump on it again. Like, it's air conditioned. You have a beer in your hand.
It moves.
Yeah. Question about that, though. We talked yesterday and the day, a couple days ago, about Trump being kind of old school. And don't you feel like old school people think that all the business gets done on the golf course? Do you think any business is getting done or no?
I'm sure if you asked him or if you asked Obama, they'd go, oh, no, man, I had my guy next to me and we did a lot of stuff, or I was doing it with the emperor of Romania and
they
we were talking,
fun
whatever.
They were sending emails next
to
them.
No, they would always say that.
But
the symbolism is hopping a flight to go golf again. So, Greg, yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, I just want to stop seeing pictures of his huge ass on the links. That's all.
I agree.
Practical concern.
Gad is here. I'll tell you, I got one more. So I got a prediction. I'll tell you first about BarkBox. Oh, man. When I left the house, Philly cheesesteak was on top of Sonny. He's got a cold.
Sonny was crying for help. I've been here for 12 hours.
He,
get me out.
Delivered 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys picked around a surprise theme each month. Just tell them how big your dog is, choose the plan, and you can do 1, 6, or 12 months. Then BarkBox, they'll ship on the 15th of each month, cancel anytime, free shipping in the continental U.S. If your dog doesn't like something in the box, they'll send them something new for free. All edible treats are made in the U.S. or Canada, so you don't have to worry about something being outsourced to Korea or someplace with SARS or something like that. No, it's all good stuff. And again, this to me is a good gift. You know, somebody's got a dog. You want to get them a cool gift. They're done with all, you know, the bottles of scotch and the gift cards to the massage place. Get them a BarkBox. And for a free extra month, go to BarkBox.com/Corolla when you subscribe. That is BarkBox.com/Corolla when you subscribe. All right. Gad is here. I'm interested in talking to him. I also want to hear what he thinks about this possible alteration for the future flight.
Ooh.
Oh. You took off a long flight, probably.
We'll do that right after this.
I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. Looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed. Unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests. David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold-my-beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now early and free right now on Wondery Plus.
Adam Carolla and friends build stuff live. At its new time, Monday, 11:10 Central on Spike. If you're in the SoCal area and want to be an in-studio guest to ask Adam a home improvement question live, email CarollaQuestions@gmail.com. And maybe you'll get VIP seats and some FaceTime with the Ace Man.
You have all these truss works and purlins and joists and paralams and beams and
exactly.
Ridge joists. I'm not done.
This week, Jenna Elfman joins the Ace Man.
This will be the last show I do, I'm sure, but this is this show.
Adam Carolla and friends build stuff live.
And Ray's on this show, too, which makes it even more
right.
Dangerous.
Mondays, 11:10 Central on Spike.
Yeah, welcome back. Spike show tonight, by the way, 11 o'clock. Jenna Elfman is going to be on. She was real funny. So enjoy that on Spike. Adam Carolla and friends build stuff live. Gad Elmaleh. Oh, wait. Sorry. I think I screwed that up.
Elmaleh.
Yeah,
sorry. That's okay.
Good to see you, Gad. I'm
used to that.
I'm sure.
Nobody gets my name right away.
I'm not going to screw it up again.
You had everything.
Well, what I get is my name misspelled constantly because my name, Carolla, also happens to share a name with the most popular car on the planet, spelled C-O-R.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone just spells my name.
It's easier.
It's easier. Good to see you, Gad. I've heard a lot about you. And first, let's talk about your life abroad and in Europe and in France in terms of comedy. What size venues do you play when you're back in Paris and in France?
Oh, I play big venues, arenas.
How many seats are we?
10,000, 12,000.
10,000, 12,000.
It's big venues. I don't do this always. Those are on tour, the big arena shows. I obviously do smaller theaters, but we don't have any clubs. We don't have clubs. We don't have comedy clubs. This is an American thing, which is great to work out the material. But so, yeah, this is what I do. And I went from those 12,000 arenas to those clubs here in the U.S. where no one knows me and there's 100 people. And yeah.
And do you take, obviously, when you're back in Europe, you're doing everything in your native French, I'm guessing.
I mean, that's my first language, but I was born in Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved then to France. So I speak both. I speak Arabic. I speak French, obviously, and Hebrew.
Do you take the same material and translate it literally? So when you're here doing a set?
No, that's a good question because I thought I would have to do this in the beginning when I moved to the U.S. because, you know, you have bits that you love. You've been doing them for years. They work. And okay, I'm just going to go and translate this. They worked, but I was not happy. I was not excited because that was not my story. And people here are very, they know what stand-up is really, really well. There's a very strong culture and they need to relate. They need to feel connected to your stories. So they laughed much, much more when I talked about my perspective and my experience as a foreigner moving to America, especially these days.
What, a stereotype, which someone just spat out at me the other day. Somebody said,
I'm ready. I have heard so many go.
No, this is actually going to be good, which is the woman who does, teleprompter. By the way, the women who do the teleprompter are always the most confusing people in the world. They're the most easily confused.
They have the job to make everything the simplest.
It's weird, but they never know. But anyway, she
wait,
just got back.
I want to know. No, wait. Yes. I want to know why they're the most confusing people.
There's something about their wiring that is so. They're literal.
Oh, yeah.
And they really. And there's another part of their wiring, which is they don't get comedy because they're just
they have to
just type stuff though everything that's coming before them is comedy. I don't know, it's like
don't hold for a laugh.
But I mean, it's like when I worked at a place that made decorative boxes for Estee Lauder, and they just had husky 6-year-old women from Guatemala putting them all together. You wouldn't go like, oh, she loves gift boxes. Oh, it's quite the contrary. She just was there. So she said she got back from England and she got back from France, and she was in Paris and in London. And I said what I say to everybody. Paris is so much nicer than London, and London is so much more expensive. It's kind of weird because you'll go, God, London's expensive, and Paris isn't free, but it's so much nicer. You'd think it'd be the other way around, and then somebody made the joke where they went, yeah, but you got to deal with the people. And that's kind of a joke that we do, like when you eat Chinese food, you know, 2 hours later, you're ready to eat again. And I'm always kind of like
the classics,
but I'm not, I'm like, I no. Yeah. I mean, I'll nod, but I don't know what you're talking about.
What about having Chinese food in Paris?
Then you have to deal with an asshole.
You're hungry and pissed.
Dan, you're just pissed and hungry. And
I went to Paris and I thought everyone was delightful. I didn't get any attitude from any waiters. I didn't get any attitude from any people. I thought they were every bit as friendly as every other place I traveled. All that I had heard the joke going into it 1,000 times. But I think it's easy because you can't make fun of Mexicans or Japanese, black people or even fat people anymore.
But going down.
The Parisians are always on our list of being able to make fun of.
Yeah, but there's something else. When I hear you guys describing Paris, I feel like I've never been there.
Mm.
It's really interesting.
You think we romanticize?
Oh, yeah. Do you like the idea of it and the romance of it? And it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh,
keep going.
So now...
So tell us, yeah.
American women, they want to go and walk on those little windy, tiny cobblestone street by the moonlight. It's fucking dangerous. They want to see a mime doing some moves in the street. We don't have this guy.
No.
They want to see a rat cooking a croque monsieur. There's no... Stop it. Okay? Stop it.
Well, I went to the catacombs and Jim Morrison's grave, so I went on a little more
because you're very
sophisticated
man, educated, and I know.
So,
speaking of sophisticated, can I ask you a question? What countries that you've performed in have audiences that get comedy more than you would think? Like, we think of certain areas of the world as maybe not so funny or not the greatest sense of humor, but have any places, like, surprised you? Like, oh, these people really get it.
Wow. I was gonna talk about New York City, but
that's on the table.
Yeah, because that's the place where every time I perform there, I'm like, wow, they're that's so quick. They're so into it. They're so connected. This is the place where I prefer. I feel that it's not my home, but I'm based there now. But I feel like I'm at home. You know,
you got the Yankees cap and everything. You bought in.
You know what's funny? I don't know anything about baseball. But I love the hats because they're comfortable and nice and, you know, losing hair. But people want to talk to me about baseball. Yeah. I don't know anything. When they see the Yankees hat, they're like, do you think it's going to be able to bring the team back? Who? I don't know. And no, I don't know. I can talk soccer with you.
Not interested.
We call it
the Oh My Gad tour, by the way. Irvine Improv, that's a great place.
Yeah.
That is coming up Thursday through Saturday. It's April 20th through the 22nd. Great place. Good crowd. And Chicago Improv. And what you can do is go to Gad's website if you want to find out about dates, tickets, and appearances. It's just G-A-D. It's just gadcomedy.com. So, Gad, here's an idea I had. I heard this op-ed piece on the New York Times, and they were talking about how horrific air travel has gotten. And I'm with them. But my other thing is always sort of like, you want to go to Chicago for $89, it's going to be bad. Like, there is no version of, you get to go to Chicago for almost free, and
flying.
It's a wonderful and it's a wonderful experience. Like, no, you don't have to wait in line. Everyone was super courteous and helpful. And
food's delicious.
The food was delectable. Like, it's just, we're getting what we're asking for, which is and the airlines know it. You know, they can build supersonic jets. They can build the Concorde. They built the Concorde. Yeah. But people would much rather get from Paris to New York in 6 hours versus 3 hours and pay 1/10 the price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they figured it out.
They offer the first class experience. Like, if you fly on, you know, Virgin over to London, first class, they'll send a car for you to pick you up both ways to the airport.
You get
like
one of those jackpods.
If you want to pay for it. So yeah,
they offer that.
This was this thing about how the flying experience had gone south, but it was at sort of the end, or which will be kind of the middle, actually. It's just the end of the protocol. Like, you go, you get poked at. You'll read it there. And
right,
and I'll tell you something that'll be, I think, we can expect in the future, but go ahead.
All right. Yeah, just the first paragraph?
Yeah, the highlight stuff.
Flying was once an adventure, more than just a way to get from here to there. But over the years, it's become something to dread. You wait in endless lines for a chance to be poked, patted, x-rayed, interrogated, generally insulted, and in the final indignity, separated by class.
Yeah.
Separated by class. Now, of course,
the final indignity
is separated by class.
You can go whatever class you want, just pay.
Well, also,
with a half curtain.
The indignity, you want to talk about, you want to go to L.A., you want to go L.A. to New York, first class and like real first class, it's $3,000.
There's
and,
no first
and,
class.
And up. Well, there's no first class. Here's what I say. If you go on the plane and turn right, you're not in first class, yeah. No matter what they say. You got to turn left. If you go left, you can be in first class. Yeah. But those tickets are $4,200 versus $212 if you want to sit in the back of the plane. And the final indignity is when you land at the same time.
Yeah.
And you pay an extra $4,000 for your ticket. But here's all I'm saying.
How is the indignity getting what you paid for?
That's the New York Times. The final indignity is separated by class. Okay, fine. Here's my prediction. We used to call, I wonder what they call it in French. We used to call the front of the plane where the pilot sat the cockpit.
Yeah.
Now we call it the flight deck.
We call it the cockpit in French, too.
Never went to flight deck?
Never. Not yet.
See? That's what I like about you guys. We changed to flight deck because the cockpit was, you know, it was probably homophobic and male-centric and aggressive.
Oh, why?
Yeah.
Cock means penis.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, sorry.
But
I don't know. You know, your guy's been around.
But what is a pit? What is?
Pit's not really, you know, pit is where chickens fight. Or where Buffalo Bill throws the senator's daughter. Like, I mean, there's really cock and pit are both kind of negative. But it also, I don't think female pilots want to go work in the cockpit. Right.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So somebody said, we got to evolve this, and we're going to call it the flight deck. Sorry for not thinking you knew what the word cock meant.
The cock came from like rooster cock, but maybe it's penis.
Either way, insulting.
We don't need to know the origins of anything to be offended by them and or beg to change them. Right.
Footnote, just because it was on my mind, I remember last year when the NBA was doing celebrating Chinese heritage. It was the year of the monkey. That was the year of the Chinese calendar, year of the monkey. And they had T-shirts printed up for the Sacramento Kings fans.
Yeah,
they had T-shirts and all things.
No.
And it was year of the monkey. And it was a Chinese monkey. And you know, it was Chinese script and all that stuff. And it was, let's celebrate. And Boogie Cousins, who's of debatable intelligence, was like, How dare you put all these T-shirts with monkeys on them while we're all playing here on the first day of Black History Month?
It's
like, they picked them all up, right?
Absolutely.
They got rid of them.
You really can't be offended by anything. Things that have nothing to do with anything, things that don't mean what you think they mean. You can really be offended by anything.
If that is the mode.
Sorry, it's a bit of a digression, but that was
perfect.
Well, now where are we? I'm a little lost.
We're coming around.
I'm flying private.
This is American humor.
Your story. I mean,
American humor.
I'm flying private. I don't understand your story.
We meander for long periods of time before we get to the point.
No, but
shut up.
I'm sorry. Yes. Because we're learning things now, there's one word I want to talk about.
Well, hold on 1 second.
No.
All right.
Okay.
I just want to bring this around.
Oh, let's finish this story.
Yes. We have turned the cockpit into the flight deck.
I know that.
With all the discussion about income inequality and the haves and the have-nots, how long before we get rid of the word class?
Or first. Oh. First class. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yep. Like, they're going to call it the executive section or something other than class.
The rich people zone.
Yeah.
No.
That's going the wrong way.
Yeah, that's going the wrong direction. But they will get the word. They
rich
about,
Whiteyville.
They talk about like class warfare and stuff like that. The word class, I think you're going to see it removed
premium.
Slowly.
I think premium will replace it.
We have Air France has premium.
There you go. Maybe you're
premium
ahead of us.
Premium section.
Yeah, I think that's going to be it.
Oh, a section is interesting because a section is not something you choose. Like section sounds like, oh, they put me here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So talking about words, cockpit, there's another word in English comes from the French, but I'm sure you don't know about it. It's a barbecue.
Really?
Really.
How dare you, USA!
Because barbecue, when they used to, I don't know how to say this in English, the brush, to the animals, when they put the...
The skewer.
Yeah.
Barbe in French means the beard.
Okay, yeah. Oh, the beard. Like a barber shop.
Yeah.
Is that like a barber shop?
Q sure. Means the ass, right?
Barber salt.
From beard to ass.
Soup to nuts. Means we're going
to,
how do you say that?
Spit roast.
The skewer.
What is this action? What
you, to penetrate?
Letting to know your buddies in high school you got laid without having to say it.
Guess what, bro?
When you're 15 and you want to let people know you got laid, but you don't want the gym coach to hear.
Just in barbecue this weekend.
That's a good show. Cockpit and barbecue.
Barbecue is the barb, the beard.
To the ass.
Right, so... The most popular shaving cream growing up was called Barbasol.
That makes sense.
So now you got Saul and Barb like beard. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the Q's the ass.
It's the ass, yeah.
So is there, can we draw this? Can we connect this? So when you, when they talk in Europe, when they talk about a line, it's a Q. You're queuing up. Does that mean
in
the
queue.
Back? Like in line, getting in line, getting, because it would, when you get in line, you are at the ass.
The I know SN. What
you're
saying.
You're talking about a homonym though. Q for barbecue is C-U-E, and that is Q-U-E-U-E.
Let me handle this guy. Yeah, but still.
Sorry.
See, you just say yeah. In America, we say yeah, but still when you're wrong and you don't want to admit. Mm-hmm.
Having
wrong.
Said that, yeah.
All right, so barb, front, barbecue. Beard, Q, ass, and this is all the way through when you picture the
cockpit barbecue. I didn't know this is an NPR show.
You learned a lot.
Very educational.
All right, should we do a little news with Gina Grad?
Let's
and Gina Gad and Gad just hang out and crack wise in whatever language you choose.
Yeah. Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I got to interrupt for maybe a question that's not answerable, but I'm still kind of curious. The audience, like I've done shows in Europe, and I've found...
Where?
I've done London a few times. We did,
Ireland, Amsterdam.
And Amsterdam. And I felt like they were a little more on the ball than a lot of my American audiences. And now maybe it was the novelty of the guy who doesn't show up every weekend, but shows up once a year. But what is the American audience like versus the European audience? Or the style of, storytelling or jokes?
So it's interesting. I do think the opposite with how fast they are. But also, Americans are used to the stand-up, like people to be efficient. And I start to become a little bit like that. When I go back to France, I find the setups are too long and we wait until the laughs and the whole thing. But I miss something more charming that we have in Europe. And there's a whole tradition here of being really dry and jokes and standing there and the more... It's not really physical.
You got to see Kevin Hart.
I love him. I love Sebastian Maniscalco as well, who's one of the best comedians here in the U.S. Very, act out and body language and everything. I like that. But we don't have this tradition of someone standing there. I mean, French people, if they pay to go see a show and they go in the theater and the guy is just standing there, standing and telling jokes.
Yeah.
They're going to ask for their money back.
Right. Thus the
love. We want to see a show. We want to see
Jerry Lewis. Right.
Yeah, I want to see music. I want to see dancing. I want to see.
No,
even
it makes
right
sense.
When you come out, there is a clip of you with the spotlight and the dancing and
a
the light
bit,
show.
But now I'm trying to mix both, all right? I don't want to do this very dry, efficient stand-up, cold, neurotic, lean on the brick wall. No, I don't want to do this. This is not interesting. I want to entertain people, but I don't want to do like the French way also, like too long and too... You know, props and, I mean, exaggerating a little bit, the wigs and rabbits. And
Gary, get a note to Stephen Wright's people that he should cancel his gig Stephen in Hounslow, England.
In Marseille and in Paris.
Not enough Stephen movement.
Wright. Yeah, I love Stephen Wright too, but you're saying that kind of wouldn't go over as well.
A little bit now because the stand-up is, you know, coming a little bit. But
the internet and everything.
Yeah,
but
not really. You know, they want to see a show.
A little more theatrical.
And also, there's something crazy here in America, and I love that people would go see comedy without knowing who they're going to see. And it's fantastic. People go to a club just to watch comedy. Mm-hmm. In France, it doesn't exist. It's coming little by little, but that's the clubs that do that. Because, no, they go see, even if he's not really known, he has a show, he has an hour, and they go see him. There's 20 people in the theater, but here, they're just going to go and watch comedy at the Improv, whatever, at the Cellar and...
Yeah, well, it's why you need a club, too, because theater, you buy a ticket to see an act, a band, a show, a play, or whatever. The Baked Potatoes, a jazz club, and if you're going on a date on a Saturday night, you might just go to the Baked Potato just to see jazz, to see this guy.
I want to go there.
Yeah, I'm taking you. Yeah.
No, I want to go on a date there, Adam. I appreciate the...
He accepts.
Yeah, we're not as progressive as they are.
Can you give me a good place to take a girl for a nice romantic... Let me ask you.
I'll go with the Baked Potato.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a cool place.
It's great jazz. It's small. It's like intimate. And
It's not in a mall.
No.
No, it's out here in, Cahuenga or Ventura?
Cahuenga. One of the, not
Cahuenga.
Pretentious.
Yeah.
Baked Potato.
The Baked Potato.
I love jazz. I'm a big jazz fan.
By the way, we invented that bitch. The Baked Potato, that's ours.
I thought you were going to say jazz.
We'll give you no.
I thought it was good. I thought it was going to say we invented jazz.
I don't care about jazz.
We invented stand-up.
White people invented the Baked Potato.
Yeah.
That's ours. That's right. It's white.
No, you invented
it. It was our idea to put foil about it.
Dating.
You got barbecue and dating.
Don't
we
talk
got
to the French
baked
guy
potato.
About cooking and cuisine.
Cooking and dating? Come on.
Well, you do julienne fries and you go...
Au gratin.
We bake our potatoes.
Au gratin. I don't even know those things. Like, you talk about things I don't even know. Those things are supposed to be from France?
Yeah.
Gratin.
Cheesy potatoes.
Oh, gratin. Okay, sounds Italian when you say garata.
That's my name.
Gratin.
Yeah,
all right, where were we? The news. Yeah, sorry.
Well, the Montana Treasury refused to cash a man's property tax check because he wrote for sexual favors on the front of the document. Scott Dean, who lives in the northern town of Havre, says that he sent off his payment, $745, to the state office last November, but has yet to see the cash debited from his account. He's even hired a lawyer to force the hand of the government, saying refusal to cash the check amounts to official misconduct. The Office of the Treasury says the check remains uncashed because the department is unsure where the funds can actually go with
this
the term sexual favors.
In Havre, Montana?
Yeah.
How many times have people been passing through and go, oh, Havre, like Hava Nagila? What?
What?
You know, like Hava Nagila.
I'm sure it's a daily.
Come again. Sir, you're 41 years old. You've never heard of Hava? Okay, we got a Jew here, people.
Get him.
You got two.
Yeah. Oh, two Jews. Yeah, Let's go get him.
Moroccan French Jew. That's very rare.
Sexual favors.
Yeah, right there on the memo line.
So is he basically protesting the tax by saying he's getting reamed?
It's like the people who pay their tickets in pennies.
Do you think he thought it that far, or is he just joking around?
I don't know, but
he went far enough to hire a lawyer.
He successfully bought himself an extension.
Yeah, he got a loan.
Right. Oh. All right.
Well, I'm curious to know if this has hit France yet, Gad. A new Dutch reality TV show has caused controversy and disgust for getting its contestants to guess whether a volunteer is fat or pregnant. The series... The series that the name translates to Bring Your Bathing Suit caused outrage over its segment. Four men inspected the physical appearance of a woman to ascertain whether she was pregnant or overweight. Other controversial challenges they've done are Chinese or Japanese for Asian volunteers.
This is just Howard Stern.
And guessing whether women's breasts are real or fake.
Oh, this is just Stern.
That's fine.
That's good. That's good. No.
Yeah.
But who volunteers for fat or pregnant?
Well, volunteers and is compensated.
I would think so.
Why did you mention Howard Stern? Because he's done that.
Howard Stern did the Asian thing. He did the breast thing. He used to do the evaluation for chubbier women and stuff like that.
Okay,
or even, not even chubbier. Just this is all very Stern.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
so we've
all done that.
No, but, so we invented this.
Are people outraged?
Okay.
Are people outraged?
Of course they're Twitter outrage.
But who is
backlash,
who,
and then outrage, what about, outcry.
Right, right, but not really.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, I don't know if you heard about this, but Brian, you might be able to use this now. Every parent knows that there's nothing like the motion of being in the car to get a baby to go to sleep. Yeah. Wait for it.
I know this.
Well, the engineering minds over at Ford have taken that phenomenon and created a crib that mimics the feeling of riding in a car to get babies to fall asleep quickly. The car vibrates like a car motor, and it even has light sounds and slight movement incorporated into the design to make the baby feel like he or she is in the car.
So but
the
crib, when your kid dies of carbon monoxide poisoning, then
only
there's
yourself
a lawsuit.
To blame.
No,
only
that's right.
It's all fun.
No, this is good. This is good. We had a VW bug, and I couldn't go to bed, and they'd throw me in the back seat and just sort of drive around in a circle. Now, that's a specific thing. It's an air-cooled engine. Mm-hmm. You're sort of sitting on top of it in the back seat. It's not in the front.
Got it.
And I would argue this is a good idea, but you need to have the car, the right car. Like, I would, it can't just be a sort of general movement with some general lights and stuff. It needs to be the car you're driving. You need to be able, and they can do it.
You need to replicate that motion. Otherwise, the baby's going, what is this?
Yes, because the SUV moves differently than the sedan.
It's so natural. It's like if you want to have a sound from, you know, the street you hear when you're a kid from far with the window open. Mm-hmm. You can't.
How can you recreate that?
And do you really want this on a nightly basis? Because then the kid's going to turn 16, get behind the wheel, start backing out the driving. Just immediately pass out, go into the neighbor's yard. Drown in the pool.
Driving.
Every time they get in the car, they're just going to fall asleep. Like, how badly do you want to reinforce this?
Christy forwarded me this story yesterday in an email with all caps, this message. Remember when I told you we needed to invent a baby bed that mimics a car's motion? Literally, 7 question marks.
She should have gotten
on it. She had this idea, and she's pissed that we didn't make it a reality.
We didn't invent it.
Also, the deal, I was going back and forth to Willow Springs racetracks about 90 miles away, and I was driving a new Lincoln Black Label. It has 32-way adjustable seats, temperature control in the seats, and a massage thing going in the seat. The car's whisper quiet. After the race, I had a couple of beers. We got in the car. I literally passed out because I had the massage going and the heat coming and the whisper quiet and the 30.
I don't want to use this.
It's really, there is going to be a lawsuit because someone's going to put that massager on. They're going to pop in the Enya and they're just going to fall asleep. Like, you will go down. We drove back in the day. You'd hear wind whistling through the cracked slat and the weird side wing window, and the seat was uncomfortable and sitting up. The car was like hard to steer and start to shake. Jimmy at 55 or whatever, and now he just go right
doze
to sleep.
Off.
That's right.
Yep. Well, health.com reports that at the Seattle Mariners home opener last week, concession stands added toasted grasshoppers to the menu for the first time, and they sold out. The hoppers are called chapulines. Chapulines are available at Safeco Field as a taco filling or a small side on their own in a cup. The positive response to the ballpark's new snack may not be all that surprising, by the way. More people have been lauding the benefits of bugs with their protein and their sustainability. And, you know, Angelina Jolie had that big video with the kids, and they taste like chips.
Yeah.
And with 7 to 8 billion people in the world, this might be the new direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem happy.
No.
Mariners crowds are the most diverse, too. Mm.
Yeah.
I've been to a Mariners game.
Oh, yeah?
They're culturally wildly diverse.
And Seattle.
Big Asian population.
Seattle also, I think, prides itself on being on the vanguard of everything. So you should know that, Gad.
Really?
Out here. Seattle, like, you might think about L.A.
I thought it was Chicago.
Yeah, no.
A little more
Think of L.A. and New York or even Chicago, but that's sort of. They have their own sort of categories, but when it comes to progression, like being the tip of the spear of like everything that's new, just anything that
progress,
seems
innovation,
that seems like social progress.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Really?
That's where you go. Yeah, maybe Portland, Oregon or something like that.
That part of the country.
That part, yeah. You think it's the coast, but it's not. It's over there.
But I was also surprised, you know, by Austin, Texas.
Austin's awesome.
Very, very ISO. Hipsters.
Yeah.
Austin.
In Texas.
Yeah.
But hipsters, cowboys, hipsters. They mix the whole thing. It's interesting. For, you know, when you don't know and you come from Europe and Texas, for you, it's impossible to have this very trendy feel and really interesting, surprising.
And great beard to ass food.
Austin. Yeah, barbecue. Austin needs a sign out front like the Rotary.
That's a good callback. That was a good callback.
Thank you.
Oh, she's good.
We should do something. There's a little music, something, a little
rim shot.
That's the Frenchman in you. We keep it dry over here.
Trumpet. Do you have? I don't know. There's nothing. We don't celebrate that callback. She's been.
No, it's good.
She was on.
It's actually now. It's a little too much. It's a little too much now.
Now I'm never going to speak again.
Too far. It's gone too far.
But see, you're seeing Austin for what it is now.
Yeah.
Austin, the sign outside of Austin should be overcompensating for the last 7.5 years for the 200 years time before. They were just Texas for 150 years, and then nine years ago, someone went, we need to be Austin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then
Austin
everyone
weird.
Went, we need the coolest everything in the world, whatever. And they just, now it's a full-time job being cool.
That's a good,
if you're
they
in
rebranded
Austin.
Themselves.
That's a good idea. You just gave me an idea for a bit. That would be funny to just talk about, I'm from Europe and I went to Texas and I got there to Austin and I was really disappointed, you know, because I want to see the Texas thing, what right. I think. But that's funny that some guy came up one day and said, we should stop that.
We have to do everything within our powers to overcompensate and be the opposite of what people think of as Texas. Like anyone who ever saw an episode of Dallas and the Ewings
the
and all that or knows who Jerry Jones is or anything, we're going to be the opposite of everything you think of. You know, the big steer horns on the Cadillac Eldorado and all this.
Big cattle ranches. Yeah.
Hats. Nope. None of that.
Opposite. Yeah.
Yep. Well, the two men who wore those anti-Ryan Lochte shirts and rushed the stage during a broadcast of Dancing with the Stars. Remember them?
Mm.
Actually, we have a clip. They settled out of court. The defendants sent a payment to BBC North America and said they will not press charges. This is right after he got tackled.
Now, Ryan Lochte was in Brio. He had some false claim about being robbed at a liquor store or something. It upset everyone, by the way, not me, because I don't care, but an insane amount, it seemed to be.
Got quite the uproar.
And everyone just was really upset over, first off, guys who swim for a living have to, you know how I tell you surfers are the dumbest guys in the world because you have to spend 9 hours a day just in polluted water, soaking yourself in the salty, briny, polluted ocean, and you can know nothing else. And anyone who knows any real surfers will tell you they're the dumbest people on the planet. Not the old dude who sold his tech business and is riding his longboard from his place in Malibu. But I'm talking about the dudes who've just been surfing their whole life.
Career surfers.
They don't know anything about anything. All they know is surf. And when people go like when Spicoli's like, hey, man, it's a way of life. Oh, they mean it. Mm-hmm. It's a way of life, which means no other lives exist. Swimming is sort of the same thing. You dump yourself in the pool at 5 a.m. every morning. You get out at noon. You eat 14 sandwiches and then you go back into the pool again. You're not good at other things like the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Conducting yourself with decorum.
No, but I'm saying it's weird that we take Olympic athletes. Oh, he's an Olympic athlete. He should know better. He's dumber than my 10-year-old son because my 10-year-old son doesn't get dumped in a body of water and live there for 9 hours a day, not seeing any other facets of life. Yeah. I don't know why we expect anything.
Well, and the crazy thing is about this group who all had like Lochte shirts with the slash through it and screaming and disrupting. I think they were pissed because he made America look bad. But this makes America look bad. This makes us all look stupid.
Wasn't it a guy and his dad?
I don't know if they were related.
An older guy?
It's Sam Satuta Barzin Cerruti.
The one dude, I think, was the same dude who got dragged off that United flight.
Oh, that's
possible. If you find these guys, I'm telling you, one guy reminded me of that guy. I got to look into this.
But as they got tackled, there's a line of women in the back row wearing shirts that say, like, you know, anti-Lochte or whatever, and going, liar, liar, and being insane until they got asked to leave. So that made us look pretty stupid as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
There's
as far as I know, he sort of got drunk, screwed up, tried to cover his ass with a lie, and ended up getting busted. But it's
feels like the outrage is not incongruous.
What?
Oh, that's where we're at. Yeah. All right. So what are these guys? Who paid who?
So they were arrested last September when this happened. The pair said they did it in response to Lochte's false story, as we know. The Olympian was suspended from competitive swimming for 10 months as a result of the lie. But it just said they settled. They cut a check to BBC North America, who owns the tapes, and never to be heard from again. It's done.
They should be barred from recreational swimming as well.
For 10 months.
No more Marco Polo for you. It's my niece's birthday. Sorry.
What is Marco Polo?
We play Marco Polo here. It's a game that we only play in pools.
Polo.
No.
It's like a hide and seek.
It's sad. Pool. It's confusing. You're right. We have water polo and we have Marco Polo, and they have nothing to do with each other. And this, by the way, I'm glad you brought this up, Ken.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to change the name.
We should do a show about only this. Cockpit, barbecue, Marco Polo, polo.
There's water polo. There's Marco Polo. Marco Polo probably owned some slaves. Mm. For sure was a racist. Mm-hmm. I tried to get the game switched to Adam Carolla.
Well, explain.
We'll show you how to play. We'll show you how.
You play that game.
Everyone here plays that game.
Okay, I don't know.
Should we give him a demonstration?
There might be a French version.
The kids get in the pool. Mm-hmm. Multiple kids.
Yeah.
One kid closes his eyes because he or she is it. That kid whose eyes are closed has to yell out, Marco. You can't just say Marco. You have to do it in a sing-songy way. Marco. And then the kids who have their eyes open, who are trying not to be tagged by this child, touched by this child, must respond with polo. And every once in a while, if a kid gets up out of the pool and runs along the deck, you can yell fish out of water.
Big game.
Marco Polo.
And you must evade the person whose eyes are closed.
Yeah, you can hear the person.
And then you start moving toward them with your eyes closed.
Adam.
Yes.
I don't want to play that game.
I don't even know how it caught on, but but with the confusion of water polo, can we now change it to Adam Carolla? See?
Adam, taking me in one of those beautiful cars.
Mm.
We go for a ride.
We go to Baked Potato?
We go to Baked Potato, you and I, and that's it.
We discuss our differences, but we realize
what we have in common.
We're more in common than we thought. That's right.
Cockpit.
I like that. All right. I can also take you to a bar called The Cockpit.
Yeah.
It's upstairs from Baked Potato.
It's not quite as nice as the Baked
Potato. Do you have any leather?
All right. First, I'll tell you about True Car. Shopping for a car? Make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online. They go out and they go to the dealer and they find out they're not available. True Car, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing on actual True Car certified dealers. So over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. So whether you're buying new, whether you're buying used, let's go True Car. Go on your computer, find out exactly the car you want, find out exactly what everyone else is paying for it, find your certified dealer, find your vehicle, lock in your price, get your certificate, and then go pick up your car. Super easy. True Car, find out what other people are paying and enjoy a more confident buying experience. It is True Car. All right, let's do one more.
All right. A San Francisco couple is still recovering from a brain-invading parasite contracted during their January honeymoon in Maui. Mm. Health authorities say 64-year-old Ben Manila and 57-year-old Eliza Lape are among 20 known victims in the last year of rat lungworm disease.
Ugh.
This is linked to all Hawaiian islands, Brian, that affects the brain and spinal cord. Humans can get it by eating raw produce, shrimp, or land crabs that contain worms.
Seattle
larva.
Mariners concession stand. We're going to really push the envelope. We got these rat mites.
Manila says that he spent a month in intensive care and is still undergoing rehabilitation. Lape describes her symptoms as, quote, feeling like somebody was taking a hot knife and just stabbing me multiple times in parts of my body.
I know people do that with a little bit of exaggeration, but if it did feel like first off, the temperature of the knife is neither here nor there when you're being stabbed.
I feel like a hot knife might actually be better.
Like, no one ever talks to anyone who was stabbed.
Numb it a little bit.
Yeah. Stabbed, like,
cauterize it.
What about the knife? As far as the knife temp, I've stabbed 23 times in the abdomen. I know, but the knife. Was it a winter month? Was it a summer month? Had it been left out in the sun?
12 degrees Celsius.
But if you were just being stabbed multiple times with a hot knife continuously, there's a famous, this predates everyone, but there's a famous SNL sketch from like season one or two where I can't even remember the guy's name because he's like a fringe guy and he went out there and he goes, I'm now going to do my impersonation of the Pope being stabbed in the eyes with needles.
You got me.
Can you know all the SNL sketches?
I know.
Sketches,
you got me
too.
On this one. Is this a monologue or is this just like
It was back when they had like
feels Buck Henry.
Buck Henry and guys like that, and they just kind of bring him out and have him do weird things.
And now Buck Henry kills 7 minutes.
The first few seasons of Saturday Night Live, they didn't have a format.
Right.
They just kind of like catch can in the comedy department.
Then Jim Henson would have like a puppets doing his thing.
Yeah, I think, Gary, it was probably early seasons, and he'd go, here's my impersonation of the Pope. And then he'd describe what doing what. And then I kind of don't want to give away the joke,
Was your show when you started? This show.
Though this perfect. Show.
Just you?
Just me, but I had done.
This, the background. This, no.
The background.
Studio, no.
He's pointing at Gina's tits, but
thank
no.
You.
No, not at the beginning.
Come on.
Not at the beginning.
These guys, no.
No.
These guys.
I'm still pointing at
there.
Them.
Yeah. At the very beginning, yes. Still point at the tits.
I want to know. My fans want to know. Americans know. In Europe, we want to know about you. Who are you, Adam Carolla?
I am a humble carpenter from the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
You're in the San Fernando Valley right now. I started off as a carpenter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a true story.
Yeah. That's 100% true.
That's a true story. And then I made my
carpenter.
Way.
Carpenter.
Yep. Building things.
Yeah. Builder of things. And then I made my way to boxing coach. And then I made my way to Jimmy Kimmel, who was a radio guy. And then I got on the radio with Jimmy, 20 years ago plus. And then Jimmy and I went off and did our own TV show. And then ever since then, it's just been sort of a mixture of TV and radio. And at a certain point, the radio ended, started podcasting.
Thanks for coming to the show. Listen, we want to know more about you here in Paris.
Right after this.
You better be careful because every time we go to Europe, Mike August always goes, who do we book? Who's around? Who's around?
Man,
but you're living in New York now, right?
No, I'm going to come to, No, I can go with you to Paris or London.
We're going to work this out because you're a draw.
Yeah.
All right.
What's a draw. I don't know.
Draw means
good word?
Big crowd.
Big crowd.
It sounds like
you will
insult.
Draw fans to the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's a draw.
It sounds like boring.
No, draw. Like, you know what he did to me?
He's a draw. Like a douche.
I don't want to talk to him anymore. Why? He's a draw.
You guys invented douche, right?
Yeah, the douche.
Yeah, douche and draw sound the same.
Too similar.
Hey, so Gary
it's
thinks
a compliment.
Gary thinks he found this a possible SNL skit that Brian has.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We found the name of the guy. We're still working on this.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you about Smart Mouth in the meantime. Smart Mouth, the only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent bad breath from coming back for 12 full hours. Two separate liquids, you combine them, they create and activate and make zinc ions that stop bacteria from producing sulfur gas for 12 full hours. So, nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as the nasty breath. So, next time you're out drinking, smoking, getting high, whatever you're doing out there partying, having a good time, use Smart Mouth before heading home, especially if you meet somebody and you want to have that fresh breath. Even prevents the morning breath. You do it the night before. You don't get the morning breath the following day. So where do you get it? You go to smartmouth.com or you find it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS. Wherever you go, wherever you shop, Smart Mouth. Let's be smart about that mouth. Let's go with Smart Mouth, baby. All right. So, Gary, we think we found the guy. Who's the guy? Because it'll be one of these fringier players from the earlier seasons.
When you type in that age, that time frame, SNL Pope, the name that keeps coming up over and over again is Guido Sarducci.
Father Guido Sarducci.
Guido Sarducci.
Sorry. But see, this is why the internet will screw you up.
Because Father Guido had a run.
And running with kids who never heard of anything will screw up even more.
And it wasn't Father Guido?
Father Guido Sarducci.
This is the year I was born.
No. Right. Anyway. Gone with the Wind. Never heard of it. Okay.
It wasn't Father Guido.
Can you give me the
no,
me
if
like
it was if Father Guido Sarducci, it would never be that vague and go, you haven't heard of the guy. And it was Father Guido Sarducci was a pretty big name for a little while.
Sorry, I'm working at a deficit. Can you give me better?
All I got is SNL cast member that you've never heard of would go out and do his impersonation. He would go, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the Pope being stabbed in the eye by 1,000 needles. And then he'd just fall on the ground and grab his head and scream as loud as he could.
It's funny.
I remember this.
Yes, and we'll find it at some point. But yeah, the Guido Sarducci wouldn't do the Pope, I don't think. He was just sort of the father or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He was
he never did any physical performance.
No, it was very funny, but he was the idea of a priest that would smoke and you know, dispense sort of advice. It was a little amoral.
It was a little, yeah.
What was his real
name?
Some
gray area.
He was a comedian, and I don't remember his name, but he like made it onto like Miller Lite commercials and stuff. All right, Gary's got a thought. Don Novello. Oh, that's Guido Sarducci's name.
Oh, we're still looking for the
only Italian names.
No.
Yeah. All right, bring it home, baby girl.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, the beauty of this show and the internet is someone will tweet us and give us, and they'll actually show us that bit of that guy doing his impersonation of it.
I want to see this.
But it will not be Guido Sarducci.
Please do tweet it to us so we can reveal it on Tuesday's show.
Yes, we will find that for you. All right. Let me see. All right. So, Gad, what one should do is go to gadcomedy.com and find out about where he's going to be playing, because you're playing all over the place. Coming up Saturday, April 20th through the 22nd, that is the Irvine Improv, which we highly recommend. And then Chicago Improv, that's on May 11th through the 13th. But other than that, you go to gadcomedy.com. Find out where Gad is playing. Sorry, I got the wrong glasses today, so I can't see anything. Lynette, you can go say hi to in Costa Mesa at the Hooters on Thursday. And then on the 27th out in Long Beach, just go to CorollaDrinks.com and say hi to her. She's doing a great job with all that stuff. Also, the T-shirt, I Agree With Me, limited time. And you can get that at AdamCarolla.com. No safe spaces. Me and Dennis Prager, you can get that at Adam Carolla or iTunes or wherever you like. Spike Show, watch that. Good show tonight. And if you want to be in the audience, just go to AdamCarolla.com and all that stuff as well. Till next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gad Elmaleh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo. Cock means penis.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, sorry.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with your questions and comments. Hit 888-634-1744. Tune in to Gina Grad weekday mornings 5 to 8 a.m. at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. Tickets and info on everything, main green events, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com.